The Holy Gospel for today is from John chapter 11, and you may go ahead and be seated. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you. And are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Lord, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and he is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, our journey of Lent began several weeks ago. It began with Jesus going out into the wilderness and being tempted by Satan. I guess we should have known how the journey started, that it wasn't going to be an easy one. Today we're reminded that this journey brings us through the wilderness, that wilderness of Lent. We find ourselves standing at the Valley of the Dry Bones, wandering through a boneyard with Ezekiel, and in that desert of grief with Mary and Martha, standing at a tomb. We listen carefully today for words that will raise us out of death and a new life, to be splashed by those renewing waters of baptism like Savannah was, to feast on the bread of life, to hear and believe that Jesus is indeed the resurrection and the life, to get a glimpse of that Easter joy that we know is right around the corner, to move from those places of death into places of life. So we see that vision that was given to Ezekiel, given for people who had really, in essence, lost their heart and lost their spirit. They were exiles in a foreign land. Their temple, which was the physical symbol of God's presence with them always, had been destroyed. Their holy city plundered. Leaders locked away. Their soldiers were slaughtered. Their young people, young men and young women, were killed off or dragged to foreign countries. Ezekiel witnesses how the soul of God's people had withered away. It became as lifeless as that valley of dried up old bones. The question asked is, can these bones live? Today we also encounter a grieving family, Mary and Martha, family of friends that Jesus chose to love as if they were his family. I think we understand those kinds of relationships, those friends who become so special and important to us, that choose to love us, that choose to love us as if we are family, that stick with us no matter what. Well, Mary and Martha were deeply grieved because their brother Lazarus had died. And Jesus came to Bethany too late. When he finally comes, Mary and Martha cry out to him, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." We hear those words and we understand. As death and loss, grief and pain strike our own hearts and our own lives, their question is all too familiar. "Jesus, where are you? Why did this have to happen?" I take comfort in the truth that Jesus gives them no answer. He offers them no words. He doesn't try to explain it to Mary and Martha at all. Instead, he weeps with them. He cries with them. He grieves with them. I appreciate that because I find that there are very few answers to many of life's difficult questions. There are often no words to explain, especially to that question of why. We don't know why things happen the way that they do in life. Yet the truth of that gospel story is that in the midst of the pain and the grief that we experience, that Jesus is with us, that he weeps with us, because he loves us like family. But he doesn't leave us there. He doesn't leave us there because death and mourning and crying and pain, they don't have the final answer. God does. In the midst of that lonely grief, Jesus goes to the tomb holding Lazarus and he says, "Roll back the stones." Some protest, and he proclaims, "Only believe, and you will see the power of God." He calls, "Lazarus, come out." And what happens? Lazarus comes out. That's right. Lazarus comes out. He comes out, but he's not free yet, is he? He's still wrapped up in all those grave clothes. He's not free until his friends and his family follow Jesus' instructions to unbind him and let him go. In the midst of a desert, in a deserted boneyard, God tells Ezekiel to prophesy, to proclaim God's promises to those lonely, dried up old bones. Ezekiel does what God tells him. And what happens? What happens to those bones? They come alive and they start rejoicing. They begin dancing. They have hope in those promises of God. That hope brings new life. Now, I can't explain how any of that happened. Those old bones, Lazarus, I don't get it any better than you do. And I know that although our loved ones are not usually brought back from the dead, that our God is indeed a God of resurrection. We know where that journey of Lent takes us. We have that glimpse of that Easter promise, that Easter joy. We know that God is always breathing life and hope into us, into that valley of dry bones, into Lazarus, breathing hope and new life into Mary and Martha, into those gathered around the tomb, hope and new life into God's broken people. Hope and new life into each and every one of us. When we are dried up, shriveled up, like a pile of old bones, those promises of God surround and fill us with hope. Through being splashed by the waters of baptism, through hearing the word, through the taste of the meal that we share, through prayers and hugs, and simply being together as friends who choose to love each other, friends who are the family of God, who God chooses to love. We hear and know those promises are real. One of the things that I really love about these stories of Ezekiel and Lazarus is that not only do they reveal God's power to renew and to give new life, but they also reveal the power that Christ gives to us, to the people of God. These stories empower us to participate in this new life. We're empowered to hear and proclaim those promises of God like Ezekiel did. We're called by Christ to unbind our brothers and sisters who are bound by grief and death. Christ calls us, even commands us. He tells us to be a community who cares like this, a community who loves like this. He says, "Love one another as I have loved you." Be a community that does not hide the hope that it has, but but boldly proclaim it in the things that we say and in the things that we do. How can we unbind our brothers and sisters, our family, our friends, and yes, even our foes? How can we unbind those who are sitting in the pews next to us? Those who are not here. Those who are across the street or around the world. How is Jesus calling us as the people of St. Mark to release them and to be released from those lifeless places of death and sorrow so that we can all be set free to live? The answer to that question is really our mission and our ministry here in this time and place. Through many of the things we heard about today, partnering with Mountain View Elementary School, supporting the important work of the Safi School Project in Tanzania, feeding hungry people through our garden, supporting the food bank, the school backpack program, clothing homeless teens and eager little preschoolers, welcoming new people, reaching out to those who aren't here anymore, caring for one another, caring for those who aren't even here yet. This is our ministry. This is our ministry of hope and new life. We're empowered by Christ to do this and so many more exciting things that we don't even know about yet. So yesterday we walk through that deserted boneyard and we stand at a tomb of suffering and pain. And we listen. We listen for that voice of Jesus. We listen for those promises of God, watching for that God of hope who calls forth new possibilities when there don't seem to be any. Splashed by these baptismal waters and fed with the bread of life, we breathe deep that life-giving and creative breath of God. And we rejoice. And like those old bones, we prepare to dance, ready to unbind those that Christ delivers to us. This is who we are. This is who we are called to be. Amen.